You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Well, my wife and I come this morning with such a deep sense of expectation as to what we believe and what we sense the Lord has set himself to do here this morning. There's a passage the Holy Spirit quickened to my spirit as I was praying about our time together. And in the passage, there is a particular word that really speaks to what I sense the Lord has set himself to do. In fact, I want to say boldly, and I alluded to it a moment ago, and it's not just preacher talk, but something powerful is about to happen here this morning. Again, that's not just kind of a little preacher cliche. In fact, I want to say to some of you, you are about to have a life-changing encounter. You're going to leave this place never the same. Something is about to happen to you you've been longing for and asking for and have yet not yet received. But say, today. Shout it. Today is the day you're going to have that encounter and you're going to experience that moment. It all revolves around a particular word, and it's the word freedom. Somebody shout freedom. Freedom is in this house. The spirit of freedom is in this house. The passage that I'm referring to is found in the Old Testament book of Micah, Micah chapter 2. I'll give you about 20 minutes to find it. It's one of those sections of the Old Testament that's commonly referred to as the minor prophets. But don't let the word minor kind of fool you. It is only minor in terms of the brevity of its prophetic narrative. It is rich with incredible, powerful implications that have relevance to all of us, but especially some of us this morning. It's a powerful passage, verse number 13. And I believe it's a rhema word. I believe it's a now word for this church. Micah chapter 2, verse 13, for the Lord of the breakthrough. Say breakthrough. That's what's about to happen. Anybody feel something in the house? Man, I feel like the Lord told me during worship that worship has been loosening some things. The significance of worship. That even as we worshiped, even as you led us in worship, there's been a loosening. Watch this. For the Lord of the breakthrough, one translation says, the Lord of the breaker, I like this, will shatter all your strongholds. That's what the Lord is after this morning. He's after a stronghold. And you shall break out, say break out. One translation says, you shall break through unto a new day, a new season, a new time, and a new place. Breakthrough. Say breakthrough. It's a wonderful word in the Hebrew language. It's the word peretz. And it's rich with meaning and significance. It literally means to break forth or to break out. The implication is something is restricting you. Something has overwhelmed you, as it were. And breakthrough comes to liberate and to set you free. It means to break free of something. The word also in the Hebrew means to shatter, to destroy, to tear down, or to demolish. And what the Lord says in this text that he's about to do is to release, and already been released in this house, a breaker anointing. There is an anointing that has been released even while we've been worshiping that's going to begin to break through. And what he's after in the text and what he's after this morning is the strongholds. The Lord of the breaker will shatter all your strongholds. Say strongholds. Interesting term in the Hebrew language. It biblically speaks of something that has a hold on you. It has a power over your life. I want to emphasize, you love the Lord. You're committed to Jesus, but there's an area in your life that has a point of domination and control. You're walking with Jesus. You're not in some deep, dark, ugly sin, but there's something. Say something. It's called a stronghold. It's a thing that constantly pulls you back. You begin to make headway. You begin to move on in the things of the Lord. You're making strides. You're feeling really good, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, it's like this thing pulls you back. It's a stronghold. Hebrews calls it a besetting sin or a besetting stronghold. It's something that we become entangled with and held captive by. That which constantly defeats you. Love the Lord, committed to Jesus. You're sold out, you're all in. You're here this morning, but there's an area of your life. I got a word for you. Jesus is in the house, and he's coming after those strongholds that dominate you. The will of God and the purpose of God is your freedom and your liberation. The adversary wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so the Lord says, I'm coming. My definition of a stronghold, it's strong and has a hold on you. So dynamic, aren't I? And the Lord says today, say today, it's coming down. See, you had to be here this morning because you have an appointment with a breaker, the breaker anointing. You have an appointment with a breakthrough, and the breakthrough is going to break through the stronghold in your life. Some of you, it's a stronghold you've lived with most of your life. And the danger of certain strongholds is we get used to them. We love the Lord, and we're committed to Jesus. It has nothing to do with that issue in your life, but it's just like, I guess that's just the way I am. You know, my mother was Irish, so I got a little bit of a temper. And I don't even want to say justify it, but we kind of excuse, well, that's okay, maybe someday. And we learn just to live with it. Some of you, it's a stronghold that's been passed down. I call it a generational stronghold. It's kind of been passed down and bequeathed to you through your family line, so to speak. Some of you, it's a door that you opened in your life. And again, you love the Lord, but something that you gave place to. Paul says in Ephesians, give not the devil an opportunity. Don't leave a door open in your life. And there may be something that you've given place to, maybe innocently, but all of a sudden it becomes a stronghold in your life. You've heard that little cute little saying, who let the dogs out? Tell the person next to you, who left the door open? Sometimes it's really the problem. You leave a door in your life open for an advancement of the adversary to move into your life. We used to pastor in a small little town in California called Oakhurst, and it was our first pastorate, and we were living in this right on this little hill, a beautiful spot, but it was right in the mountains of the Sierras. And one day I looked up, and a bat's flying in my house. It was a vampire bat. No, I'm just kidding. And it's flying around, and I'm getting a little irritated because all the kids are all freaking out. Jan's freaking out. And I finally, I'm trying to get this bat out. And I just, out of frustration, said, who left the door open? That woke somebody up right now. Who left the door open? And I can't get this thing out of the house. And finally, my young daughter, Danae, looked at me, and she said, Daddy, you left the door open. And I rebuked her right there on the spot. Cast that demon out of her and set her free, I'm telling you. And the fact is, I left the door open, and I, as much as I laugh at that illustration, that's where some of you are. And you love the Lord, but you've left the door open. Not trying to be ugly, I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm trying to tell you, you left the door open, and the adversary found that entry point. And it looks so innocent to start, but before you know it, it has become a stronghold. It dominates your life. You can't be free. You can't move in certain areas of your walk with the Lord. I had an unusual experience. And I knew when I awakened from it, I literally woke up hearing the sound of cries. And I laid there in bed. I didn't want to wake up Jan with it. I didn't know what it was about. And I just said to the Lord, what is this? What am I hearing? And I heard so clearly the Lord say, it was a moving moment for me. And it brought such a sense of an awareness of the significance of this morning's gathering. Because I heard the Lord say this, it's mercy culture. And it was probably 2 weeks before we were even getting ready to come here. I said, Lord, it's mercy culture. And I'd been praying about our time together. I'd been praying about, Lord, what do you want to say? And I heard it again, it's mercy culture. It's loved sons and daughters of mine that are in that fellowship, in that church, that are crying out for deliverance. And then he quickened the passage out of Exodus chapter 3. And when I got up out of bed and went to my office, I looked it up, and I began to read these words. And it's a word that the Lord wants to speak. The Lord says, I want you to feel the passion of God's heart. I have heard the cry of my people. because of the strongholds. One translation says taskmasters, but you could easily translate that as a stronghold. I have heard the cry of my people because of the strong, and I have come down to deliver them. Somebody say amen. And I felt like the Lord said, I'm coming on that Sunday, and I want you to tell them that I've heard their cry, and they're coming out and getting free from the stronghold that dominates their life. Someone give God praise for that. That this is your day. Tell the person next to you, I'm coming out. I'm coming out today. And I heard it so clear in my spirit, so clear. It was then as I was in my office, just it was early in the morning and much earlier than I normally get up. And as I sat there, the Holy Spirit began to quicken passages to my spirit that I want to speak over you, that I really believe the Lord wants to quicken to you. Passages that speak to what the Lord has set himself to do. Listen, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word. And just hearing the word. In fact, I believe even as I recite these passages, as I declare them over you, I think something's going to stir in some of your hearts. Because there's some of you sitting there right now saying, could it be? Could I really get free of this? Could I really? Pastor, you don't know how long I've struggled in this area of my life. You don't know how long I wrestled with this area of stronghold. Even while I'm ministering, the Holy Spirit's beginning to reveal, I'm after this. I'm after that. And you love the Lord. You're committed to Jesus. I'll say it again. You're all in. But that area of your life keeps tripping you up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I keep stumbling in the same area. I keep stumbling in the same weakness. I keep being overcome by the same, there it is, stronghold. You didn't think of it as a stronghold, but it's strong. And it has a hold on you. And the Lord wants me to give you this word, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. Listen to it. Jeremiah 30, verse 3. I have come, says the Lord, to shatter the strongholds. You know what I'd like for you to do with me? Because I know you're a crazy congregation. But every time I recite a passage and I finish it, I just want you to shout, amen. You know what amen means in the Bible? So be it. Means do it, Jesus. How many know he's going to do it? Jeremiah 30, verse 3. I have come, says the Lord, to shatter the stronghold. Amen. Isaiah 23, 11. I have given, I love this, I have given the command to tear down the stronghold. Amen. I love this. Isaiah 10, 27. My anointing will shatter the stronghold and set you free. Oh, this is a good one. Psalms 107, verses 10 through 16. For some are imprisoned in iron chains, but the Lord will break through your prison walls. There we go. Your prison walls and destroy the iron strongholds. All week I've been praying, Pastor, come thy kingdom. Be done thy will. Let thy kingdom be manifested. And I heard the Lord say, I'm coming after strongholds. There's a lot of strongholds. Just a few that he mentioned and quickened to my heart. Just the stronghold of shame. People in this room right now, and you love the Lord, but shame dominates you. It's a stronghold. It's an ugly word. It's a painful word. It's a mean word. It's a word that's filled with regret. Shame shatters hopes and shatters dreams. It humiliates. It holds us hostage. I've discovered shame is one of hell's favorite and most prized strongholds in people's lives. Forgiven, but struggle with shame. Love God, but struggling with shame. Shame impacts our sense of worth, our sense of value, our sense of significance. It attacks our identity, begins to say who we are, though that's not who we are, but it tries to do that. It often takes hold by things that we've done. There's not a one of us that haven't done some things that we're ashamed of. And yet Jesus says, I've come to break that stronghold. Sometimes shame is the result of not what you've done, but what's been done to you. One of the things I appreciate about this ministry, one of the things my wife is passionate about is your passion for justice as it relates to trafficked men and women, human trafficking. And the number of people over the years that we've had to minister to and deal with that live with the shame of the abuse that they went through, even as a child. Nothing they did, nothing they were a part of, but the thing done to them created a shame over them and in them that caused them, and they were unable to really walk in the things and the freedom of God. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And I want to be bold with this. You're here this morning, and shame has dominated you and controlled you. It has impacted your relationships, your relationship with the Lord and your relationship with people. But Jesus is in the house to break the stronghold of shame over your life. He's here now to break it. And when I thought about that, I thought, Lord, you're coming after the stronghold of shame. And then the Lord spoke to my heart that the stronghold of rejection. Rejection is one of those taskmasters that Exodus chapter 6 talks about, and it wounds the heart, and it buffets the mind, and it crushes the spirit. This particular stronghold has the power to keep you from the destiny and the purpose God has for your life. There are things that you feel like you want to do, but rejection has controlled you. It keeps you from that. The stronghold, I've discovered, and I'm moving quickly now, but I've discovered this stronghold has a voice. Nobody loves you. Nobody wants you. And there are people in this room this morning, and I got a word for you. The King is in the house. The King is in the house. The breaker anointing has been released. The Lord of the breakthrough is here. And sadly, there are those, even in this room, that have been raised with the stronghold of rejection. I was surprised. I've read the Psalms like you just innumerable times, and I came across one particular Psalm that I'd never seen it like this, and maybe it was a different translation that kind of enlightened it, but in Psalms 27, verse 10, David says these words, "My mother and my father has rejected me." Whew. And I thought about that. I thought about the number of people who the story of their life is the rejection even within their home. I don't think there's any greater pain than parental rejection. I know my mother didn't mean it. I hope she didn't mean it. I tried to believe she didn't mean it, but I will never forget. I was the third of our family, and because of our family dysfunction and my dad's struggle with alcoholism, the last thing she wanted was another child. She'd already had two. And one time, just maybe with an innocent moment, didn't realize what she was saying, but her words lodged in my heart, and I didn't realize a stronghold was beginning to be established when she said to me, "You know, we really wasn't planning another child. We really didn't want another child." And you may say that's no big deal, but when you're a young child and you hear your mother say, "We really didn't want you," the adversary, come on, how many know what I'm talking about, seizes on that moment. And I didn't realize that something had gotten established in my life, and didn't fully realize the struggle I was having with relationships. Fearful that my mom didn't want me. I mean, the ultimate one in your life is your mother and your father. And then you've got a father who pushes you away and rejects you and those kind of things. And there are people in this room that understand exactly what I'm talking about. I've said it again and again. I'm going to say it again. The King is in the house. And rejection is coming down today. We prophesied it with a shout. I believe that has loosened the stronghold. Some of us get stuck in what I call a cycle of rejection. That stronghold kind of cycles us. And before you know it, we get rejected and then we start rejecting. In fact, I'm going to reject you before you reject me. Come on. I'm not going to let you reject me because I've already pushed you away. In fact, there's some who struggle with, "I don't know what I did, man. We were moving on in a relationship. Everything seemed to be going great. And all of a sudden, it's like it all stopped because you go so far and then the fear of rejection causes you." Come on. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a preacher, but I know how life works. And the rejection, I call it a expectation of rejection. And before we know it, there's so many more. I want to touch just on a couple more. I thought, as the Lord spoke to me, just the stronghold of bitterness. And again, you love the Lord and you're committed to Jesus, but there's a point of bitterness in your life that finds control because by way of a hurt or a wound, something said or something done to you. I've struggled. This is one of the strongest strongholds the enemy has in people's lives. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded. It's not a matter of if, just a matter of when. If you never want to get hurt, don't get married. Come on. Don't have a relationship. For goodness sakes, don't have kids. Come on, parents can't say amen, but just kind of do this, you know. There's one guy back there going like this, man. Like, you think the anointing's coming. And we laugh, but it's true. You can't live life. You can't live life and not get wounded sometime. I like to say it this way. Welcome to life. I mean, since I'm on that subject, the number of times that Jan has hurt me and wounded me. How many think I need to move on? Yeah. No, we understand that dynamic and we laugh about it. And I'm not minimizing your hurt, friend. I'm not saying, hey, just get over it. But the problem so often in so many of our lives is the wound becomes a stronghold of bitterness. The problem with so many of our lives, it becomes a point of control within our lives. It steals years. It steals joy. It steals peace. In fact, the book of Hebrews says, if we're not careful, a bitterness becomes a bitter root that produces bitter fruit and defiles many. And relationships all around us become impacted by the bitterness and we recycle the hurt. And without knowing it, we become negative and critical and even spiritually barren. Because of the bitterness that dominates us. And the Lord says, I've come to break that stronghold in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. I've come to break it. And the danger is we get around us, those who are also bitter, and we join what I call club bitter. And we recycle and rehearse. And we have people that affirm our reason for being bitter, but there's no reason to be bitter because Jesus is the emancipator and the liberator, and he can set you free, and you don't need to walk in that. And the Lord of the breakthrough is here. And then there's the stronghold of guilt and condemnation that so many find themselves overwhelmed by. This stronghold says to you that you deserve to feel bad for what you've done, and you've done some bad stuff. Anybody in that room want to say amen to that? I mean, you can say it quietly, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I look back over my life. I can't believe what I've done. But this stronghold controls and cripples our walk. It steals our sense of assurance. You've asked forgiveness, but you've never allowed that stronghold to be broken and never truly forgiven yourself. And so the enemy comes and says, you don't deserve to be forgiven and you don't deserve to be free. And you're in this room this morning and you feel the condemnation of that, the stronghold of condemnation and the stronghold of guilt. But I got a word from the Lord. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Yeah, what you did was wrong, but that's not who you are. What I did is not who I am. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I did some stupid stuff. I'm pretty transparent with my congregation. I'm pretty open, but there's some things I'm never going to share. I'm so embarrassed by that failure or that sin. And the enemy used to beat me up with those things of my past and told me, you don't deserve God's blessing and you don't deserve God's grace. But God began to show me who I really am in Christ, and there's no condemnation. And I don't live in that guilt anymore, that I have been what the Bible says, justified. Say justified. That stronghold was defeated by the truth of God's word. I love Katie Torwalt's song when she says, truth arrested the lies of the adversary. And I told fear, go to hell. And I told guilt, go to hell. Sorry, that's a little earthy. But that's what you got to do sometimes, because the stronghold tries to keep you from your joy and keep you from contentment and keep you from the assurance of who you really are in Christ. Somebody shout amen. See, when I come to really understand I've been justified, the revelation of that truth destroyed that stronghold in my life. What's justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. You know what justification is? It means God looks at me as though I never did what I did, though I did it. Stay with me, man. This is good stuff. You get this, man. It's a game changer. In fact, God looks at me when I come to Christ and I come to the cross and the blood of Jesus redeems me from all my past. God looks at me as though I never did what I did. You know what I love about that is when I get with my buddies who did it with me and I tell them I never did it, they say, yeah, you did it. No, I never did it. We were with you when you did it. I know I was there, but I didn't do it. Though I did it. You can't say that. Yes, you can. Because the only one that matters is how God looks at you. I said the only one that matters is how God looks at you. And so God looks at me under in Christ as though I never did. So when the enemy tries to establish that stronghold and he tries to tell me what I did, I didn't do it. It frustrates the devil. Because the devil said, I was there. I helped you do it. I tempted you to do it and you did it. No, I'm sorry. I didn't do it. Why? Because God takes my sin and removes them. He removes them. I'm going somewhere. As far as the east is from the west. In fact, one of the writers in the scripture says, he remembers them no more. You know when you frustrate God? Lots of times, but one important time is when you keep trying to remind him of things you did. Do you know how liberating and how freeing and how overcoming of the stronghold is when you stop reminding God of the terrible things you did? Because God says, I don't know what you're talking about. See, you can never forget. Your brain locks it in and it's there. But God has the power. That's why I love God so much. He has the power to say, I have forgotten that. So when you remind me, I don't know what you're talking about because I have the power to choose not to. Come on, somebody give God some praise. So you frustrate God and you hinder your walk when you constantly recite what you did. I think even in points of testimony, we need to be careful. It doesn't mean we don't talk about the great things God has done, but I think we've got to be careful that we don't spend so much time talking about what we did and rather talk about all what he did. Somebody say amen. Strongholds. Somebody say strongholds. Today, strongholds are coming down. They're coming down. In fact, I want to invite the worship team to come. There's so many more. There's some of you, it's the stronghold of unforgiveness. Some of you, it's the stronghold of addiction. It's a besetting sin in your life. Some of you, it's your marriage. The Lord's told me so clearly this morning on my morning prayer walk, there are marriages here and you love one another, but there's a stronghold in that marriage that's trying to destroy you. And the Lord says, I've come to tear down that stronghold. See, worship is so critical at this point because worship is the gate through which the king enters. And when the king comes into a place, we said it, he works his power, anything can happen. For some of you here this morning, I know by the Spirit, you almost didn't come. Now, some of you, you come every Sunday, and God bless you. But there's some of you, you almost didn't come. There was every reason in your mind. In fact, the enemy tried everything he could to not let you come here because he had an idea of what God's about to do. He understands what God's about to perform, but you're here, and the Lord of the breakthrough is here to set you free. You know, one of the things I've noticed and about Jesus and in my study of the Gospels, and for a long time it used to bother me. It used to kind of irritate me when I'd read where Jesus would come to a blind man and say, what do you want me to do for you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or he'd come to a leper, what do you want me to do? And can I just be real? I just feel like, Jesus, how rude. Now, I know Jesus isn't necessarily rude, but I thought, Jesus, how rude, man. Everybody can see he's blind. Everybody can see he's a leper. And, you know, he's kind of embarrassed as he's got this condition. Lord, why are you asking him what he needs? And then I realized, like a revelation went on. If you don't admit what you need, you can't get healed. If you're not willing to say, this is what I need, this is my condition, this is the stronghold in my life, And what I love about the Holy Spirit, he's been revealing strongholds. Some of you knew him right when I started. The moment I said he's after strongholds, oh man, I know what he's gonna come after. Some of you have hidden it and excused it and kind of justified and minimized it. But the Holy Spirit's been poking on you all morning long. You thought it was me, it was him. The Lord said, I'm doing that not to embarrass you. I'm doing that to set you free. And so I understood. I understood this powerful principle. God can deliver a stronghold's hold on you, but he can't deliver your hold on a stronghold. Some of you will get that on Tuesday. And maybe then you'll get delivered. I'm going to say it again. God can deliver a stronghold's hold on you, but he can't deliver your hold on the stronghold. And until you're willing to say, this is what it is. This is the area of my life. Everybody thinks I'm just wonderful, but this area is a stronghold. It may be an addiction. It may be watching things you shouldn't be watching. It may be a dozen other things, but you're here this morning and the Lord of the breaker has released a breaker anointing to set the captive free. Pardon my passion. I know what I'm talking about. I've been set free from some strongholds, and there's nothing like liberation. There's nothing like liberation. He's here. He's here to set you free. You got to stop minimizing it because there's freedom in the house. Father, I ask right now that you'll do what you set your heart to do. Spirit of God, Spirit of liberty, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Spirit, you're in this room to set the captive free. Sons and daughters, people who love you, but they're crying out, even though they don't even realize they're crying out. Deep within, even while I've been speaking, Holy Spirit, you've been revealing. And you've come to set the captive free. You've come to set the captive free.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.